are listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Rage Against the Machine are playing our first show in 10 years in our hometown of Los Angeles.
I am torn.
I feel very, very confident, even more so now that we have...
We're on a terrible track right now, not just with respect to national security.
NAPI is racial.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
Not a bad idea.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is a bitch. And we'd like to thank, of course, Dr. Ron Turner for being on with us this evening. And Margaret Gray also joined us as she talked about the cyberbullying. That's a terrible story. That little kid, that cyberbullying case, man.
Yeah, you're really tearing you up or something.
It's not tearing me up. I just, that poor child. Kids are going to get bullied and kids are going to cry. A kid that's being tortured publicly, going through that publicly, it's brutal, you know. And then it all goes out onto YouTube. Keep your kids off of YouTube. How about that? YouTube should only be used by the people that really know how to use it. Stupid jackasses that put, like, audio from my show to cartoons.
Yeah, man, they got a lot of your stuff on YouTube.
Jesus.
They got all-you-can-eat Negro on there. I know that. Yeah, that's a big one.
So, yeah, leave YouTube to the professionals. Leave YouTube to the guys that take, like... leave YouTube to the guys that take the movie Downfall and mix it with, you know, party music. They take the movie Downfall and they drop in the Mel Gibson tapes, you know, the Hitler movie.
That stuff's fantastic. I love it. It's so quality.
Oh, that stuff is this. Are you kidding me or something, man? Talk about overdone.
You don't think that funny?
Yeah, you know what? You two guys would find that funny.
What about the one? About the one that I like is Mel Gibson and
Christian Bale.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
No, not Christian Bale and Mel did, and they're like on the phone talking to each other.
I heard it.
You don't think it's funny?
It's okay. But anyway, that's what I think. That's the province of YouTube. That and, you know, there's some really cool shows. But keep your kids, your children, away from it. I'm going to do a video, and I'm going to talk to my friends, and then the friends talk. And the next thing you know, your daughter, your 11-year-old or 10-year-old or 9-year-old daughter is having a nervous breakdown. Your kid is ready for the booby hatch. Because she's there talking about putting a Glock in somebody's mouth. What the hell kind of a world is this? We're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to butch it up a little bit here, man. This generation of parents, God almighty, start exercising a little bit of control. I'm not asking people to be unreasonable, and I'm not saying that we got to go back in time like these things don't exist, but you realize, you listen to that little kid, and you know what these poor kids go through, so if she wants to use the internet, that's fine, man, but YouTube, that's like sticking your face out there for the whole world to see, and then she's having an emotional breakdown. It's like sitting there like going batty like Randall McMurphy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Disney gives sneak peek of new Hawaii resort more than 80 years after Mickey Mouse piloted Steamboat Willie, if you'll pardon the expression, and whistled his way into the hearts of children across the world. He's finally reached the shores of Hawaii. The Walt Disney Company on Friday gave a peek of its sprawling beachside Hawaiian resort that is under construction and scheduled to open next year. Boy, you know what? I mean, that's such an obvious thing.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, how come they're not there?
You guys have been messing around in Florida long enough, Hawaii. I mean,
Hawaii?
I mean, Disney.
Hawaii been fooling around in Florida?
No, man. Disney's been mucking around in Florida for so long. You cats got to come out to Hawaii now. You guys are down there in the Caribbean with your Bahamas this and your something else. Hawaii! Now, that is a state where you can really charge the big $2,000 a night, you know. The place is called Aulani. It's Disney's first major standalone resort away from a theme park and could serve as a model for future projects as the company diversifies and expands its vacation offerings. Now, don't screw up. Don't do what Hefner did.
What did he do?
Hefner spread out too much, see? You remember Hugh Hefner with Playboy magazine?
Yeah.
Hugh Hefner had the magazine. Then he bought casinos. Then he bought hotels. Then he did this and then he did that. And he didn't do any of it very well. He did the magazine great. I mean, that's what Hugh Hefner is. He's a magazine publisher. But when he got into the casinos, when he got into even the Playboy clubs, that had a very limited run, that Key Club bullcrap. Very limited run. And I forget what else he did. Even the Playboy Channel, which if they jazzed that up, bud, you watch all that porn.
I don't watch a lot of porn, but I did see. What do you mean? I don't watch porn at all.
Well, I know you've been watching the Playboy Channel, so don't tell me that you haven't, because I'm seeing it popping up on the bill.
Well, they have some.
They don't show nothing.
They still don't show anything? Well, all right, so anyway. Although they do have that Girls Next Door. That's
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But what happened was, Christine Hefner, which was Hugh Hefner's daughter, and still is, she came in and she cleaned the whole mess up. She came in, and I don't know where she went to school. I guess she has a degree in business. And she said to her old man something that was very true. She said, "You're a great magazine publisher. Get back to publishing the magazine." And that's what he did. So he divested himself of all of that garbage, and he went back to doing what he did well, which was the magazine, see? And
well, I mean, Disney does a lot of great. They do like Splash Mountain and jazz like that and everything.
Yeah, but they also do a hotel.
Yeah, I know. But every time I see a guy say diversify, you know,
that just means they want to go and do, like, you could do other stuff besides a roller coaster. You could do like what if they went into auto manufacturing or something?
What?
What do you mean auto manufacturing?
They could. That's what I mean.
What do you mean auto manufacturing?
If like nightlights or something like that.
What are you talking about, man? I said they do that.
No, you said diversify.
I said diversify. I said be careful of diversifying. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Just what you said right there.
That's a good thing.
No, that's not a good thing, man.
Why would that be a good thing, man?
Because they're diversification.
Are you an idiot or something, man? Disney does theme parks and nightlights and auto manufacturing. That ain't Disney.
Wait a minute, didn't you tell me that the guy that makes lamps also makes butter?
I was talking about Beatrice. That was that big company years ago. Do they still exist? I don't know. But they owned all kinds of companies. Beatrice had they had everything from ketchup to electronics to toys to food. I mean, they did a bunch of stuff. Furniture. They were huge, you know. I'm not talking about that. I don't think that that's a good thing for Disney to do. See, Disney got into broadcasting. Disney got into the broadcasting thing. And one of the things that Disney got into that, in my opinion, is very, very touchy is talk radio. Disney owned a lot of talk stations. Now, what's the nature of talk radio? Well, you know, one thing, it's very controversial. People are going to express opinions that will make other people angry. And that's not the business of Disney. That's not what they're about. That's not what they've ever been about. And
but you tell me one time you went over on the Disney and you told them all about like a sex show or something like that.
No, it wasn't a sex show. It was ABC. And they were owned by Disney at the time.
Yeah.
And I went over and I pitched a Phil Hendry thing. It was ABC Television Network.
Yeah.
And I could see all these faces at the table, all these ABC Disney executives looking at me. It was Mount Rushmore, man.
Yeah, I want to pay money to see that.
It was Mount Rushmore. I'm going, oh, yeah. And then the other idea that I have, and I'm looking at these people just, They didn't dig it at all. So Disney can't do that. Well, they're getting into the standalone resort. All right, so they're going to do a hotel. I got to tell you something, Disney. I've stayed at your hotels. They're beautiful. There's no question they're beautiful. But I will say this, I don't think you cats do hotels all that great because your room service, just the little things like room service and maid service, it wasn't all that hot.
Where was you staying at?
We stayed over at that, what the hell's the one over there?
You're talking about that, where?
The one that looks like the California Lodge, is that it?
Yeah, I mean a Californian.
The Californian, yeah, it's over there at that damn, whatever that park is, man, with the freaking thing, California Adventure. We stayed over there, and it was a beautiful room and a beautiful whatever the hell. But, man, I come around there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon with the kids, you know, after we got done doing all this park stuff, and the room's still dirty. So there's a whole, that's a whole philosophy, man, to running a hotel. It's not just, you know, hi, I'm Disney, and let's do, I know you guys have beautiful hotels, and I know that you, for the most part, the hotels are nice. But if you're going to move away from the entertainment of a theme park and the other things that Disney does well, which are the movies, and now you're going to get into, like, resorts. All right. So Tom Staggs, he's the chairman of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. This is a very special project for us. It's unlike anything that Disney has done before. At the same time, it's very like many of the things we do, he said. People scratch their heads and their you-know-whats, and then went on as the gentleman spoke, but really weren't listening to him. Alani will have 359 hotel rooms, said Tom as people walked away from him, 481 timeshare units, restaurants and a convention center, and a 15,000-square-foot spa and a massive water play area. But by then, everybody was bored. Jim Lewis, president of Disney's timeshare component, which sounds like a real winner, said Hawaii makes perfect sense. No kidding. You know, it made perfect sense 20 years ago, too. Hawaii makes perfect sense. Of course it makes perfect sense. So why were you cats insisting on all this Florida? I mean, Florida, I know the land was cheap, El Cheapo, in Central Florida when they built Walt Disney World back in the day. So it made a lot of sense then, and they got the Caribbean right there. But sooner or later, you got to wake up and smell the, I don't know. Roast pig. 877-876-PHIL. Should there be a fat tax? I don't care. Oh, wait a minute. No. I just took a look at myself.
Yeah, I was going to say there shouldn't be either.
877-876-PHIL. Some officials in Germany think that that might be the answer. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
David G. Hall is with us. Put him up on line three.
Hey, Mr. Hall.
Yeah, David?
Well, I heard you guys are talking about the Playboy radio channel on Sirius. And, Phil, with all respect to you...
Why do I always know that when you say, with all respect to you, I'm going to get slammed?
Yeah, that's true, Mr. Hall. But
will you hold on for a minute? I'm not going to slam you. I'm just going to tell you, you talked about the Playboy channel on Sirius, is that right?
Yeah.
Would it be interesting for you to know that it's one of the highest rated channels they got over on Sirius?
It's one of the highest rated channels? I mean, that's not interesting. I don't doubt it.
Well, okay, you don't doubt it. You were saying to Rance and Charles, you said that you don't get it. You like women, you like sex, but you wouldn't listen to the Playboy channel.
Well, I don't understand, man. I don't understand.
Well, let me tell you who does listen to the Playboy channel. We have a lot of guys listen to the Playboy channel. Listen to you. Guys that are on the long haul. Guys that are driving their trucks.
Truckers.
Yeah. What, do you think they don't get it? You see, when you open your mouth and you talk about truckers being a bunch of guys that are married to ugly women... And
I never said anything of the sort about truckers being married to ugly women. I was asking why, who, and where, who listens to the Playboy channel on Sirius?
Yeah, because you can't imagine anybody listening to it, and they must be ugly, or their wives are ugly. Didn't you say that? You thought that their wives must be trucked?
I didn't say their wives are trucked. Dude, you know...
Don't give me the dude. Hey, dude. I'm just trying to tell you that this is the audience that you broadcast to at night, too.
Well, I'm not... You know, here's the thing. Whoever listens to the Playboy channel, good luck, you know, have a good time. I don't listen to it, you know, and...
Why? Are you too good for it?
What's there to listen to? Look, man, you know, it's one thing to tell me that the Playboy bunnies have got a TV show. Okay, great, you can watch them. I ain't going to listen to them talking about sex. It's probably as dull as hell.
Well, the guys that listen to it are some of America's sturdiest, hardiest guys. And Playboy has Playboy's got a morning show, too.
Where's this?
On Sirius.
You know what Sirius is doing? They're paying. I mean, Playboy is paying Sirius.
What did you just say?
I said, and I'm going to stick, I bet you money, that Playboy Channel pays Sirius so that they can air their crap.
You're telling me that Playboy, which is the solid gold imprimatur of everything masculine in America, everything male and cool, Playboy, they got to pay their way onto the air at Sirius?
Yes. You heard me right. Because that guy over there, that Karmazin, has got a bill to pay, about $500 million worth. He's got to pay it some way. And he ain't going to be paying it just saving on the salaries of a Sunday night show, putting the producers of whatever the hell on, and not paying everybody else, and putting interns on, and guys that they pulled off the street. And I hear they're even running an ad that says, if you want to do a show, call Sirius. You don't think the cat's going to pay the tab off that way, do you?
Well, I don't know why. Why would Playboy want to pay their way onto Sirius?
I don't know why they'd want to do it. I don't know why they'd want to do it. But apparently, you know, if people are listening to the show and they're getting a lot of subscribers, I guess it was a good move for Karmazin. He's getting the money from Playboy, and he's getting the subscription money because they jacked up the subscriptions because it's popular. But I don't think Playboy is necessarily getting all that much out of it. I don't know. What are they making money on that?
Well, yeah, they make money. Well, that's not advertising.
Exactly. It's not advertising. It's subscription money. They probably get a piece of the subscription money, and it's bet you it doesn't amount to anything. I bet you Playboy is paying their way onto that channel, man. Playboy is, and I'll bet you some of those people that we thought were getting, I know he's still probably paying a lot of people big money.
You know, that doesn't make any sense. Playboy isn't paying their way onto that channel. Karmazin has fallen all over himself. Karmazin probably, I bet you Karmazin turned himself and is some kind of a sex monkey for whoever would have him just to get that on.
Oh, come on, man.
Just to get that on that channel? You better believe he did. But I'm not here to talk to you about that. I'm just telling you, before you put down the Playboy channel, before you put that down, remember the big, dumb jackasses that are listening to it are the same guys that listen to your show. And to me, that's very important information. I wanted everybody to know that. I was going to tell Bud, to have Bud tell you, but I said I'd come on and tell you myself.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's get out of here. Is that it? What's he want to do, sing?
Well, maybe. Yeah, he likes to close out with a song.
Florida woman. Close out with a song. I'm going to tell you right now, I would be surprised. Well, maybe I don't know. I don't know. I can tell you that Sirius XM... The facts are these. Every time I open up some financial page someplace, there's someone somewhere saying, oh, well, you know, they really are making inroads serious. Oh, you know, their subscription money is up. Their subscription money is up. Their subscription money is up. The last I heard, these guys were going to get kicked off of NASDAQ because they can't keep their stock price above $1 a share. I guess that didn't happen. So way to go, man. Your stock is worth more than $1 a share. That's number one. Number two, it's still $400 million any way you cut it. Now, I don't know how much, Brett, 97 cents their stock was today. Sorry, man, you didn't. Hey.
Are they going to get kicked off of the NASDAQ and everything?
Man, you sound like a retard when you said that.
No, I'm just asking.
I don't know, bud. Maybe they will. But this is, any way you cut it, this is lousy business. Lousy. And when a guy like Phil Hendry can figure it out, and I'm telling you, I am no great shakes. But when I can take a look at an industry and I can tell you what's wrong from the top all the way down to the bottom, and I'm dead right, there's something so basic about that, that if I can't be wrong, they ought to be able to see it. And they can't. Or if they can, it isn't anything they want to tackle, so they decide that they'll take their piece and they'll get the hell out while the getting's good. But that's Sirius XM. That's an example of a company so badly run, bad decisions made from the beginning to the very end, and a guy at the top of that company, Mel Karmazin, that everybody's afraid to criticize. Everyone's afraid to criticize. Here's a guy that they think... And I heard this jackass on
you better watch out in case they're going to have Mel Karmazin be a hire you.
I don't care if that guy doesn't hire me. Let me tell you something, man. I wrote off being hired by that guy years ago.
Yeah, but what if he wants to?
If he wants to, he can. What do you mean, what if he wants to?
Well, if he wants to, but he won't.
Why?
Because he doesn't want to. I know that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. What if he wants to? Oh, okay. But what if he doesn't?
No.
What I'm telling you is this, man. We got to take a break. Here's a guy who comes on the Fox News Channel, a business channel. He says, I've always believed the way to create wealth is by cash flow. Let me tell you how to create wealth there, Mel. It's the way you do it. Don't pay people salaries, you see. See, that's how you do it. You get people to be on your radio network for free. That's not some fancy Fox Business Channel, Sean Hannity, Neil Cavuto answer. That's just, hi, I have people working for free. Oh, no overhead. Yes. Okay, I'll try it, man. It's fantastic. The 10 fastest growing careers up next. World famous Phil Henry Show, 97 cents a share. Let's buy some.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Go find a link to SiriusXM, bud.
Well, okay, what are you going to do? You going to spend all day talking about that?
I'll talk about what I want to talk about. I just want to see what they got on their channel, that's all. 10 fastest growing... Don't tell me what I'm going to talk about.
They're talking about SiriusXM. Mel Karmazin not going to like it.
I don't care what he likes. God, man, everybody's worried about Mel Karmazin, man. You'd swear to God the guy was... What do you think he is, man? The Grand Executioner or something? Here we go. SiriusXM. What's on Sirius? Now, they carry all these networks, and I know they have all the news. MSNBC. They got the audio from MSNBC, CNBC, Fox, CNN, and Headline News. And that's actually very, very good. If you want to... look at this. Lynn Samuels is a nice lady, and she's on Sirius. It says Sirius Left, Sirius Left. I guess those are the left-wingers. And then they have Andrew Wilson and Mike Church, Sirius Patriot, Sirius Patriots. I guess that means right?
I think so.
Lynn's a nice lady, and I shouldn't... Well, I'm not going to say this.
No, come on, man. You got to say it.
Well, I met Lynn in New York. I had been doing a series of shows at the Museum of Television and Radio. We were there doing some remote broadcasts, and I thought a woman walked up to me on the street outside the museum there, and it was on 45th Street or 48th Street or 50th. It's on 50th, the Museum of Television and Radio, and it's on 50th near, I want to say it's on 50th near, like, 5th Avenue, maybe? Anyway... this woman comes up.
Oh, Phil Henry, you're just the greatest, you know?
Yeah, you thought she was a bag lady.
Oh,
did you really think it was a bag lady?
I didn't know who it was, yeah.
You thought that Lynn Sam was a bag lady on Sirius?
I thought so, yeah, only she wasn't on Sirius at the time. I think she was on WABC. So.
You thought Lynn Sam was a bag lady? Ow.
I never said that.
You were thinking it, though.
No, I was not. How dare you, man? You say something like that again, I'm going to lay you out.
That's perverted. I'm going to get out of here. Uh-huh.
God, man, how dare you say that?
You didn't say that, man.
All right, so what's the schedule on this jack pile here? We got what's on Sirius, all right? It's got the various channels that I meant. All right, here we go. We have... What the hell? Video, Rogue State Nuke Danger, Hall of Fame Weekend. Jim Duquette and Casey Stern host special coverage from Cooperstown all weekend, including the induction ceremony of outfielder Andre Dawson. Jimmy Loves the Brickyard. Jersey Shore invades hits. Don't miss Snooki, JWoww, Vinny, and Pauly D from Jersey Shore hosting the Weekend Countdown on Sirius. Of course, of course. That's what I want to hear, man. I want to hear that pack of jackasses. I mean, those people, do you understand what reality programming is? Reality programming is watching the train wreck that a person is. It's not suddenly telling them they're a star because it stops being reality, and then you have amateurs trying to be stars. Car Talk, Prairie Home Companion, and more. Hear all your NPR weekend favorites. American Roots Radio, let Bernie Taupin take you on a tour through American music with songs handpicked from his personal... I'm sure, you know, he's a nice man, but... All right, so there you go.
Who's Bernie Taupin?
He used to write with Elton John. He was a songwriter. He was a lyricist. He's a phenomenal lyricist. He's a great songwriter. He and Elton John.
Yeah, but what they do? Like, which one?
Goodbye, Norma Jean, and, you know, Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road, and...
Goodbye.
Goodbye?
Yeah.
I don't know that song.
Well, no, you did Goodbye, Norma Jean.
Well, he did Candle in the Wind.
And Goodbye, Norma Jean, and Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Goodbye.
Ha, 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 ha.
Well, what are you saying?
Yeah, it's called Candle in the Wind. It's not Goodbye, Norma Jean. A very nice guy, and I met him in Miami years and years ago. As a matter of fact, I've told the story before. I had him on the air along with, at that time, he was writing with Alice Cooper, Bernie Taupin. And he was with, yeah, she was with Elton John through Rocket Man, all that stuff. But by the late 70s, he was writing with Alice Cooper, and we interviewed them, and then we went outside. They were leaving. They were going to get in their limo and split. And in those days, you know, we'd get a lot of kids who'd gather at the radio station because they would hear the interview on the air and they'd want to come to the station and meet the artist. And so as soon as I got done talking with Alice Cooper and Bernie Taupin, we walked outside and there was probably about 50 or 60 kids that had gathered outside the station by this time. And we took pictures because they like to take their little publicity shots. And then they said, all right, we waved the kids forward to come up and shake hands. And boy, I'll never forget Bernie Taupin sticking his hand out to shake hands with the kids that were coming up, and they all went right by him, and they shook Alice Cooper's hand.
Well, I would too, man. I'm not going to talk about Bernie Taupin, anything like that.
Yeah, why would he shake that guy's hand?
Because I felt bad for the guy. How would you feel, bud? Stick your hand out.
What are you going to do?
Put your hand out like you're going to shake my hand.
Okay. Okay, so you shook Robert's hand.
Yeah. How did that make you feel?
Good.
Why?
I didn't want you to shake my hand.
You understand what I'm talking about, man? He felt very embarrassed. I felt bad for the guy. So, you know, but now he's doing this thing on Sirius, and God bless you, brother. I think I got on the sports channel here. Well, what the hell, I got Bernie Taupin on the sports channel? Oh, that's how messed up it is. All right, 10 fastest growing careers. Lyricist for Elton John is number one. Number two, I'm kidding. Number one is home health aides and personal and home care aides. That's the number one fastest growing career in America, home health aide and personal and home care aides. In other words, changing bedpans.
All right. That's fantastic, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, that's really great. No, that's not changing bedpans necessarily. It's you're at home. It's a home health aide and personal and home. You know, you're helping. You're in the home. There's 103,050 jobs available. That's ranks at number 48%. Top 10 fastest growing careers in the next 8 years. Number two, computer network systems and database engineers. Systems and database engineers. That does not mean computer programmer. You're basically the guy that comes in and fixes it.
Oh.
And that is, there's about 40,000 jobs. Boy, it's kind of interesting. 40,000 jobs, 30%. What does that mean? Registered nurse, there's 103,000 jobs. Medical assistants, 21,000 jobs. Medical assistant and registered nurse are 3 and 4. Then we get to number 5, accountants and auditors. Number 6, dental assistants. Number 7, human resources, training and labor relations managers and specialists. Human resources, training and labor relations. That's going to be a very big job because we are finding it necessary more and more to understand what it is the employee and the supervisor go through in the workplace. Understanding the, you know, when you're spending 8 hours a day on your job, 8 hours a day is a long time, so you have to have make the environment conducive to working and to also being, you know, mentally healthy, so you don't want to take a carving knife to people.
Yeah, I'm going to say, man, a guy going to go around and kill everybody.
Right, so they have to have that'd be a better description of it. Training and labor relation managers and specialists so your employees don't go around killing everybody. Now, the percentages by the jobs are the percentage of growth for the industry through the year 2018. So they see a 48% growth for home health care. a 30% growth for computer network systems and database engineers, 22% growth for registered nurses, 34% growth for medical assistants, 22% growth for accountants and auditors, 36% growth in that field for dental assistants, and a 22% growth for human resources, that profession we were just talking about. Then we go to number 8, management analysts. A 24% growth in jobs for management analysts. I wouldn't even be able to tell you what the hell that is.
Don't explain about it or anything like that?
Not really. A management analyst. Maybe they analyze whether or not we need management anymore.
That wouldn't take very long.
No, it shouldn't. Number 9, computer software engineers and computer programmers, 21% growth. And it stands to reason. Oh, a management analyst typically tells the company how efficient their company workers are. Oh, you know what? A friend of mine has a business in San Francisco. A friend of Maria's, actually, has a business in San Francisco. Her and her husband have been running for a long time, and they're very successful. And that's exactly what they do.
But what do? They go to a place where a guy works?
No, they'll go into any workplace, and they'll spend time, you know, I don't know whether it's a couple of weeks, and they will look at the entire operation. They'll look at how the workers work. They'll look at how the management exists. They'll look at the product. They'll look at everything. And then they will assess, and then they go to you, the company owner or whoever, and they say, okay, here is how efficient we think your company could be. Here is where you are right now, and we think you can improve here, 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 and here.
I don't know, man. Now, people like that, I never trust that. I always got to find something wrong.
Well, it's a good point.
Yeah, they come in and say, oh, yeah, you messed this up, messed that up, messed this up, and then you messed it that up, too.
Well, they're getting paid anyway.
Yeah, they're getting paid anyway. But, I mean, if you're getting paid and you say, oh, well, thanks for the money, but I didn't find anything wrong, your company just fine, you're going to feel like people are going to feel like you got ripped off. So if the people pay, you're going to say, well, here's something, here's something, here's something, you know.
Well, I don't really know how it works, man. I mean, look, if you feel that your company it could be doing better, then there's a reason why you brought those people in, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so you bring them in, and they analyze, and then they may come back and say, well, what is it that you want to do more of? Where do you feel your company could be performing better, you know?
Yeah, well, all right, if I say my company should be performing better in, like, I don't know, you know, like, let's say your show. Your show sucks. It could be performing better if you were funny.
Right. If I was funny, okay.
Yeah. And then they go, oh, yeah, you're right. He's not funny. So fire the host.
Will you guys get serious for a minute here? I'm talking about these guys will come in and say to you, your company, what would you like? Well, we want to do this, that, this, that. And they'll take a look at it. They may say, well, you know what? You are really actually performing very well in that area. However, there's a couple of areas where you're not. Or here's how we can help you become more efficient. Is there a company anywhere in the world that couldn't be more efficient? Okay? You want to talk about my company? You're damn right about that. Yes.
Well, like how?
Firing your ass. How about that?
Man, you walked right into that one.
No, I didn't.
And then finally, number 10, pharmacy technicians and aides. A 25% increase. Boy, ain't that the truth, man. You go to the ding-dang pharmacy, man, go to get your medicine. You know. And it's always like a line. So anyway, that's the 10 fastest growing gigs. And there ain't nothing in here about disc jockey, talk show host, actor, entertainer, nothing. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Hendry Show. A new survey says Americans love their online technology so long as they don't have to pay for it. Well, guess what, sucker? Them days is coming to an end. I don't know. Maybe it'll get it's bound to get cheaper. It's bound to get cheaper and freer. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. To the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Bud made a good point. Dennis Miller is a good actor.
Yeah, he's good in that Disclosure.
See, I was talking to Rance. I love Disclosure, that movie with Demi Moore. But Dennis Miller was in that movie. He was fantastic.
Yeah, that's the only movie I ever seen him in that he was any good at, though. Everything else stink. But he is funny on TV, but he stink. Or I think everything on radio stink.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something, man?
What?
Everything on radio stinks. Why do you say everything on radio stink?
No, no.
I think you're wrong, man.
No, I'm not wrong. No, I'm not wrong.
Yeah, no, I think. Isn't he wrong?
Yeah, I think grammatically you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. If you say everything on radio stinks, that's the proper way to say it. You don't say everything on radio stink. And then you said on radio he stink.
No, that is right.
No, it's not right. Where did you guys, did you get out of third grade? No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. If you say on radio Dennis Miller, he stink.
Yeah.
No, what are we talking, baby talk here? On radio Dennis Miller, he stink. No,
no, Phil, if you look at it.
No, Robert, trust me, man. Trust me, okay?
No, if you say that.
No, I'm not going to listen to you try to talk me into saying that the following phrase is correct. Dennis Miller, he stink.
But he does.
I'm not talking about whether he really stinks or not. I'm talking about the actual phrase.
Oh, okay. We thought you were sticking up for Dennis Miller.
Look, don't get me into a conversation about whether he's any good or not. I was talking about the grammar.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe you're right.
You thought I was arguing with you about whether he stinks or not?
God, squeak like a girl, why don't you?
What are you talking about?
You go, why not?
Yeah, it did sound like that, man.
Yeah, sir.
Okay, my throat, you know.
Okay.
I'm going to beat your ass, man, I swear.
Yeah.
Help.
Residents, and listen to this. California town outraged to learn of officials' pay. Bell, California, right here in the beautiful metropolitan metropolis of, what do we call it, L.A. Here in Los Angeles, Bell, residents in this modest blue-collar Los Angeles suburb where one in six lives in poverty. Jeez, I didn't know that.
Where is this anyway?
In Bell, man. It's like southeast Los Angeles. Residents in this modest blue-collar Los Angeles suburb where one in six lives in poverty were angry. Their city manager was getting paid more than President Barack Obama and the police chief more than the commander of the nearly 13,000-member LAPD.
You're kidding.
No. They demanded and got the manager, the chief, and another high-salaried official to resign. They looked for the culprits, and they found him and the very people they entrusted to lead their city of 40,000. Now they're campaigning to boot them out of office. Their mayor and three of their four council members, people they see every day at the grocery store or church, approved the contracts and put an obscure measure on the ballot that allowed council members to pay themselves any amount of money. And they did, collecting between $90,000 and $100,000 a year as part-time officials. Oh, my God. This is America, and everything would be transparent, plumber and longtime Bell resident Ralph Macchius said. In Bell, however, not many people really paid attention. The city of mostly small homes is like many American cities and towns. No newspaper covers them regularly, and the citizens spend what little free time they have with family and recreation. A few who kept tabs on City Hall said they were suspicious because the officials were secretive, brusque, and quick to act without explaining themselves. Boy, thank God sometimes for those gadflies that hang around those city council meetings.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. There's just a certain kind of people that go down to city council meetings. And in Bell, California, man. Bell? I mean, I hadn't heard anybody talk about Bell. Where is Pastor Rennick?
He's in Bellflower.
Bellflower. What caught us by surprise was the amount of money they were paying people, said Ali Saleh, who helped form the Bell Association to Stop the Abuse, whose acronym, BASTA, translates to enough in Spanish. The salaries exploded into public view last week after a Los Angeles Times investigation based on California Public Records Act requests showed that the city payroll was bloated with all sorts of six-figured salaries. Listen to this. Chief Administrative Officer Robert Rizzo made $780,000 a year, getting a series of raises since being hired in 1993 at 72 grand.
Man.
72 grand. The cat's making almost $1 million a year as the chief administrative officer for Bell, California. Obama makes 400 grand a year, the president. Assistant city manager Angela Spasia made $376,000 a year. Police chief Randy Adams earned $457,000 a year, hired just last year to oversee a force of fewer than 50 people. He was making 50% more than L.A. Police Chief Charlie Beck's $307,000 a year. All three Bell officials resigned after a late-night meeting on Thursday. To the residents of Bell, we apologize, Mayor Oscar Hernandez said. Now Hernandez and the council members may be next. The law, the council would have, by law, the council would have to approve the contracts on open session, but several residents complained that officials are loath to explain what they're doing and quick to race through matter. People, you got to pay attention to what's going on. It doesn't mean that everybody's a crook. It doesn't mean that there's all kind of conspiratorial things going on. But if you're just a good citizen like these people in Bell, California, and you just ask the question like, hey, how much are you getting paid? I mean, that's all it takes. And they didn't, just like the man said here, they didn't have a daily newspaper. They didn't have daily coverage of a radio station. It's a little tiny city in the middle of the L.A. metro area. So it's going to get lost in the big wash of news that happens in Los Angeles every day. The Times said that Hernandez, Vice Mayor and Councilwoman Teresa Jacobo and Councilman George Marabi and Luis Artiga are paid $8,000 a year, plus around $8,000 a month for boards and commissions they sit on. $8,000 a month. Phil Henry Show produced by Jason Rantz, Technical Director Charles Wiegand, and our screener was Tex Heron. And we'll see you guys on Monday. PhilHenryShow.com for all your radio needs on this beautiful weekend.
Okay, Mr. Henry.
Phil Henry.